For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Joining me now, you've heard his voice a lot on this radio station. He is a WFAN alum. You can look at him if you dare to look at him on SNY. You can hear him and also look at him on his podcast, New York, New York. All those accolades are great, but I think his biggest accomplishment in life is being a good friend of mine. And that, of course, is the great John Jastrzemski. JJ, I'm not even going to ask you how you're doing because I know the answer. So here's my first question for you. Take me through your emotions Saturday night when our beloved New York Knicks won the championship for the first time in our lives.
Okay. I'm in the compound. I'm watching with our mutual friend, the great Eagle Eye Picks, and my lovely wife.
Yes.
And it was Tommy. All of the emotions were relief, just stunned disbelief. In many ways. Like, don't get me wrong. I was giddy. I was jumping up and down. I was excited. I was yelling and screaming. But it was more realization of, holy smokes, I can't believe this actually happened. Considering, Mr. Lou Gehrig, I never thought in my lifetime it would happen. I live a wonderful life. I have a lot of beautiful things that have gone my way over the 38 years I've been on this earth. And
You root for the Yankees. I don't want to hear about your kid or your wife or anything.
That's down the list. I got to be honest.
You live a charmed life.
But it's down the list. The point being is, I said, listen, it may never happen. And if it doesn't, I have to accept it. It's okay. And we'll move on. So for it to be crossed off the list, dude, I feel like I hit the jackpot. You know, I'll say I was texting with the great Mike Breen earlier today. And I mentioned you must be on cloud 9. He goes, JJ, try cloud 11. So, you know what? Let's go to cloud 53, because that's basically what it was, Tommy. 53 years without a championship. Bottom line, can't believe it.
You got to do me a favor. If you feel comfortable with this, with Mike Breen, and you can even say that I was asking. I don't know if Mike Breen knows who I am, but I'm curious to get this answer from Mike. I wonder, and I want your thought on it too, JJ. Mike Breen, we know about the single bang. We know about the double bang. We even got a premature bang in this playoff run, the Merrill 3 that went in and then went out. Mike Breen talked about on the podcast with Jalen and Josh, the roommates podcast, he talked about the idea of busting out a triple bang in the finals if the Knicks won a championship on a game-winning shot. I wonder if Mike, if there's any regret. So it's a two-part question. If there's any regret that he didn't use the triple bang on the OG tip-in, that's part one. And part two, would he have used the triple bang on the Brunson three there if it went in?
I will absolutely ask him that question.
Thank you.
I think it's a very good one. The Ananobi one, there's no way he could use the bang.
No, but he did three goods, though. Good, good, good. So he did go three there. I understand that he couldn't use it there, but it's such an iconic play.
Tommy, I don't want to answer for Mike.
Yeah.
However, I think if Brunson's terrible shot, and the best thing about it was he shot it with 5 seconds to go and you were allowed to tip in, you were allowed the magic of Ananobi to go and take plays. If Brunson's shot goes down there, I think you would get your triple bang. That's just my guess.
I agree with that. And that's why, so if you could ask him that, if you feel comfortable asking him that, you could even say, I asked for wanted to know, and then I'll share it with the audience. You can get to me because I've been talking about that for a while now, because that Ananobi tip-in will go down as such an iconic play. Like, I have it on the Mount Rushmore. You know, you think about the Tyree catch in the Super Bowl, the Jeter flip play, Mookie and Buckner, the Mateau goal, all these plays that live on forever and ever in championship type of lore. Where do you rank that Ananobi tip-in in Game 4 to complete the historic comeback over the Spurs in Game 4?
Oh, holy smokes, right there with David Tyree. It's right there with David Tyree. And listen, as you know, I was rooting for the Giants in that Super Bowl, but I am not a Giant fan. I am a Knicks fan. So it's going to be number one on my list, and I could give you countless Yankee others. The one that I would have put in the quote-unquote Mount Rushmore being Jim Leyritz's home run in 96 against Mark Wohlers in Atlanta. But the OG Tippin, Tommy, it's like an all-time, forget about New York sports play, it's an all-time NBA Finals moment, dude.
Yeah.
It's an all-time NBA Finals moment. Like, the OG Tippin will live the way the Ray Allen shot lives for Miami Heat fans in Game 6. It'll live the way, you know, take your pick on Jordan's game winner against Byron Russell in 1998, or the one he had in Game 1 to start the series. Like, it's an iconic, because it's the greatest Finals comeback ever. It now equips that hideous Lakers-Celtic one that I lost way too much on because I had the Lakers in that game, which made me absolutely sick. Now, this is better, and that play is kind of the perfect, like, symbolism of everything this run was about, everything this team was about. And Tommy, I put together a list. It's coming out later today. I did my pod. Should be dropping probably in the next hour or two. But I did the top 10 moments of this Knicks playoff run. I wanted to put a list together. I was kind of like going through and doing the exercise in my head. I know people could say, oh, it's got to be when they won the championship. No. The number one moment of this playoff run is the OG Anunoby tipping.
I agree 100%. Right. Because here's the deal. And they won the championship that night. And there were those that were going into that weekend. I heard from some Knicks fans. I heard from some family members that, not that they were saying, hey, I'm rooting against the Knicks, so to speak. But I think there was this thought of finishing it in Game 6, finishing it at Madison Square Garden, having that celebration. And I said, I understand winning the championship is huge, but you came back from 29 points down. You had an iconic play there from OG Anunoby. You essentially won the championship that night going up 3-1. That was the moment. You got it already. You didn't need it in Game 6. You got it in Game 4. So just seal the deal Saturday night. Let's celebrate, and let's move on to the parade. The championship moment for Madison Square Garden was in Game 4. So really, as Knicks fans, we got the best of all worlds. We got to celebrate essentially twice. They won the championship twice, 4 and 5.
You know, I had a buddy who works with me at SNY who was out for Game 4. Out of a bar, I think in Brooklyn, watching the game, going through all the madness, and had to be in the building to produce our show for Game 5. And, like, you know, he's a pro. He did his job. He's obviously, you know, working, getting us ready to go and doing all the stuff that we need to do. And he goes to me, he goes, you know, what night would you have rather been out? Game 4 or Game 5? Tommy, I'd rather be out for Game 4. I'd rather be out. Because just how all of that unfolded, like, that's where it's like, dude, like, I know it's Saturday night. I know the Knicks won a championship. Like, dude, you could see it coming for 7 minutes in the fourth quarter. I don't know if you felt this way watching Game 5. The minute the Knicks got that within, like, 4 points, I was like, this is a wrap. Like, when San Antonio was not up by 20 points at halftime, I'm like, they're dead.
Yeah.
The Knicks are finding a way because they always find a way.
Yeah. I said that going into the game. That was my prediction for it because every single game had the same exact script. The Spurs are going to own the first quarter. Then the Knicks will hang around. And then when you get to the second half, Brunson and company are going to just take it over and they're going to win the game. It could be in the final couple of minutes. It could not be. But either way, the game is going to go in the Knicks' favor and the Spurs are going to dominate early. And that's exactly what happened. And to your point, if there's no Game 4, meaning if the Knicks had just controlled that game and they won it, whatever, by 10 and they had the lead most of the time, Game 5 would have been an iconic game because they were down early. They did storm back in the fourth quarter. You know, the Spurs had the lead in the third quarter, fourth quarter. The Knicks went on the sick run, and they won the championship. But because of Game 4, Game 5 is almost an afterthought. It would have went down as one of the all-time great New York sporting events, but because of 4, it paled in comparison. Ending, obviously, you win the championship. But in my eyes, John, the Knicks won the championship in Game 4. The celebration was Saturday night, but winning the championship was Game 4. Where do you, because we obviously the Rangers in 94, you've been through all these Yankee championships, the Giants championships, we alluded to them. Where do you rank this run compared to other New York teams that have won championships?
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, Now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment, but I'm going to be a prisoner in the moment. Number one for me, Tommy. It's number one. Now listen, you never forget your first. And for me, the 96 Yankees will always have a special place in my heart because it was, like, somebody asked me this the other day. They're like, what is the Mount Rushmore of New York championships after the Knicks won? And listen, I like to look at my lifetime. I didn't live 86. I clearly didn't live Joe Willie Namath putting up the finger and beating the Baltimore Colts. So I get that I'm talking to 1988 and beyond. But for me, once this championship was won, it's Knicks 2026, Rangers 1994, because you're talking about all-time droughts coming to an end.
Yep.
And then the other two I would give you, 96 Yankees, 2007 Giants. And you could split hairs with those two. To me, the Knicks and the Rangers have to be one and two in that order. You're a Giants fan, so you're going to put the Giants ahead of the Yankees. I get it. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm not a Giant fan. I'm going to put the Yankees ahead of the Giants. But I think those are the most four iconic New York championships in my lifetime. Now, again, I didn't see 86 with the Mets, and I know that team was special, and they captured the heart of the city in the way this team captured the heart of the city, and it was a drought there, but I didn't live it. I did live everything I just gave you. So that's my four. If you don't like it, too bad. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's a great four. I would, and again, I was super young, so obviously I don't remember it, but I know it's in our lifetime, and that is Norwood wide right. Everything going on with the war and all the emotion in that Super Bowl, and everybody thought the Bills would just completely destroy the Giants in that game with the no huddle, the shotgun, the K-gun, and for the Giants to control that game the way they did with a backup quarterback, and like I said, all the pageantry and Whitney Houston from an iconic sporting event with everything going around in the world, I would put that on the list if we wanted to stretch it out to five. But it's hard to argue with the four that you gave. Let me speak on a list here, because the national media is up to their national media tricks, and I'll call them out. Colin Cowherd's got Jalen Brunson seventh on his list of players you would build your team around. And I understand a little bit of that is to get attention, not that he needs any more of it, but whatever. To me, Jalen Brunson, he's the best player in the league. If you're telling me, hey, I get to pick one player and we're going to go 5-on-5, who's my first pick? I'm picking Jalen Brunson. For the way he performs in the fourth quarter, for everything he does on a basketball court, I think right now he is the best player in the league. Am I nuts?
After this title run, I can't call you nuts, because he did something in New York that, like I told you, I never thought I'd see. I just think you're being a little disrespectful as a two-time MVP. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is an absolute animal. I mean, the guy is an incredible player. He's won two regular season MVPs, and he's won a championship. You still have the Joker, who you have to put in that conversation. And then, listen, you want to say, right now, I'm putting Mr. Brunson ahead of Wemby after their NBA Finals? See, that's what I'm not going to fight you on. But
well, I got people telling me Anthony Edwards. Did Anthony Edwards win a championship?
Tommy,
Kate Cunningham? Come on.
I was going to give you something here based upon that. As far as American players are concerned, I think there is a very legitimate case. Very legitimate. Because, again, I think you sell, like, dude, the brilliance of what Joker and SGA have done in the league over the last 5 years is absurd. Like, it's just, I know Brunson does some wonderful things. Those guys win MVPs, and they have championships too. So I can't ignore that.
But do you think there's a bias against Jalen Brunson winning an MVP? Like, I think he's going to get more love this year in that MVP type of stuff. And same thing with Carl Anthony Towns. I think there's a little bit of that going on here, where it's all right. We don't want to let New York in the club.
A little bit. But let's be fair about this too. He's not going to – it's tough for him to go and put up better numbers than a guy like Jokic, who's putting up a triple-double basically every night. Like, that's just – like, those guys are such super freaks. People don't look at Brunson in the same category because he's like a grinder. And, like, it doesn't wow you. By the way, the city – I'm walking outside, and I am on Broadway. I'm literally on the Canyon of Heroes as we speak.
Nice.
Where this parade is going to be. It is barricaded to the T's. There are police towers set up. It is nuts walking outside, which is right where we are over at SNY. So I wanted to bring that up.
Okay, and I want to cut you off before you even get to your thought here, because you're talking about, and I'm not saying that you're saying this, but you're, stuffing the stats and putting up all these numbers. Luka puts, on his worst night, is putting up better numbers than Brunson. But I'm sorry, Luka, in my opinion, is gutless, and I would rather have Jalen Brunson in the fourth quarter any day of the week than Luka. But if you ask the pundits out there, they'd say, well, Luka, he's obviously better than Jalen Brunson.
No, right, you know,
because he
what?
Has 15
Tommy,
assists
Tommy,
every night.
I wouldn't fight you on that. And I got to be honest, I'd rather have Brunson on my team than Tatum. And I know Tatum is probably a more skilled player. And listen, if we're being fair, Tatum, throughout his career, you know, the body of work is really, really good from the minute he came into the league. And what separates two, Tatum defensively is a better player than Brunson. But at the end of these games, would you rather have Brunson with the ball in his hands, or would you rather have Tatum with the ball in his hands? I'd rather have Brunson.
No doubt. Tatum's way too passive. He, to me, I know he won a championship, but I still don't think he has the killer instinct. He didn't win the finals MVP, and deservingly so, Jaylen Brown won it, because I think he has that killer instinct. I'm with you. And that's going to follow Brunson. His defense isn't. It got better, but it's still not up to the level of just where some other guys are at in the league. But yeah, I have Brunson as the best in the sport. And we'll see. If he continues to do this, obviously he'll get more and more in that conversation. Here is what is not something you could dispute, John, but I want to get your take on this. Obviously, Jalen Brunson is the king of New York. Can Aaron Judge ever do anything to take that title away from him?
It's going to take multiple championships, Tom. And it's going to need to be Aaron Judge having the moments, right? Like, not just winning, but he's got to have the moments. Like, he could win a championship this year. Listen. The Yankees are by far and away the best team in the American League.
Agree.
I think they're going to be playing in the World Series this year.
Agree.
And listen, you go and beat the Dodgers and you stop them from getting a three-peat or whatever the scenario you want to paint, it could be dramatic, but it's not going to be ending a 53-year title drought. So that's an unfair advantage that Jalen Brunson has. But hey, the facts are the facts, and I am totally with you on this. King of New York, it is retired until otherwise brought up for the foreseeable future. So it was going to require somebody to go and win one of these things. And Tommy, just think about this for a second. If I told you Aaron Judge came into the league 2016, but his rookie year is in 2017, when he should have won the MVP, Altuve got it, he was cheating, the whole deal, whatever, I don't care. The Astros are really good anyway, no better than the Yankees. But I bring all of this up because if I had told you in 2017 the Knicks would have a championship, and that Aaron Judge and the Yankees not, you would have gotten some very, very good odds in the JJ Sportsbook.
No
Just
doubt.
Saying. Very, very good odds.
Now, speaking of Sportsbook, which is something near and dear to both of our hearts and a lot of people in the audience, and normally this type of stuff doesn't get to me, doesn't bother me, but it's starting to get to me and bother me now that I keep seeing it. And I was watching you on SNY because I had the Met game on, and I saw that you guys were talking about it. Maybe I missed something here. The Knicks won the championship, right? Yeah, they did. So how in the world are they the fourth best odds to win a championship next year, and the Celtics have better odds? Did I miss something here? Is Larry Bird walking on the court here? The Celtics, as far as I'm concerned, they've had their day in the sun. To me, they're a team on the decline. Their front court is an embarrassment, and they lost in their building Game 7 to a gutless Sixer team. So somehow they have better odds than the Knicks. And I'm sorry, you're giving me these Western Conference teams. The Knicks just beat the Spurs in 5 games. They're going to get better, San Antonio, with experience, and I understand the Thunder were banged up. But the Knicks win a championship, and they're still being disrespected, in my opinion, based on the Vegas odds. What's your take on that?
Okay, I have a split take on it. I think your point about the Celtics is 1,000% spot on. The Knicks should absolutely, positively be ahead of the Boston Celtics. Tommy, here's some facts. 2 years ago, they matched up in the postseason. You want to answer this question for me? Who won the series?
Knicks.
The Knicks won the series, correct. For the excuse makers that wonder, the Knicks, if they would have had to play the Celtics, things would have been different. The Celtics couldn't beat that corpse Philadelphia team and lost not once but twice on their home floor.
Threw a huge series
lead. Give me a break.
Yep.
Now, that's outrageous. And who knows if Jaylen Brown's going to be on the team, and it's no given that Giannis is going to be on the team. So the Knicks are bringing back their starting five. It's a given they're bringing back their starting five. The Knicks should absolutely be the favorites in the Eastern Conference. It's a joke if they're not. Now, this is where I got to push back. I totally understand why OKC and San Antonio are ahead of the Knicks. First of all, they won a ton of games in a regular season. You mentioned the injuries for the Thunder. They won it 2 years ago, and they could get better. They have the ability to go and make a big move.
They could get Giannis.
In theory,
they could get Giannis. OKC.
Absolutely, they could get Giannis. They could. San Antonio is going to get the double agent, De'Aaron Fox, off their team. Like, they're going to add someone that will help their team more than De'Aaron Fox, who, by the way, they should give him a 4-2 while they're at it at the Canyon of Heroes.
Yeah, he should get a ring.
In the series.
He should get a ring. He was awful.
But you got, it's so bad. And the fact that Mitch Johnson allowed him to take as many shots down the stretch as he did in Game 5 is certifiably insane. I'm not saying it's a fireable offense. He went to the NBA Finals. He can learn from it. Mazzulla learned from it. So, like, the idea of firing the coach is nonsense. But I do want to bring this up. The reason you're seeing the Knicks, maybe not fourth, because I think that's dumb, but third, Tommy, nobody repeats in the NBA anymore. Doesn't happen. Like, the Warriors were the last team to do it, and that was almost, 10 years ago.
Yep.
So, it's not that the Knicks can't do it, but the pedigree of the double apron and the changes within the league, it's tough to repeat now. The NBA is not like it used to be, where it was like, oh, hey, look at the last couple of champions. OKC was a crazy favorite at the start of this season to win. They didn't win. A couple of years ago, the Celtics. Oh, the Celtics. Brown and Tatum not going anywhere. This core not going anywhere. We know what happened there. Denver. Everyone thought Jokic and Murray were getting back. Oh, they're going to win multiple. They're going to win multiple.
They haven't sniffed one.
Bucks going to win multiple with Giannis. They didn't do it.
Yep.
So what I'm getting at is it's really, really hard. And remember, the Knicks had crazy good health throughout this entire postseason run. You can't take that for granted. Like, it's hard to be as healthy as they were. Like, OG played. Cat played. Brunson played. Bridges always played, so you don't got to worry about him. But what I'm getting at is, are you going to have the same injury luck? Is it going to go the same? The odds take that into account.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
I look at James. We talk about sitting here right now and basking in the glory of a Knicks championship, which on its own is just insane to think about this even a couple years ago. I look at James Dolan, much maligned, criticized heavily, and I understand that for the abyss that the Knicks were in for all those years. But I look at him now. He delivered a championship. Once they won that championship, he apologized to Knicks fans. And then this speech that has now gone viral that the Roommates podcast unveiled to the world, which I thought was awesome. To me, we are seeing this redemption of James Dolan. And it kind of reminds me of George, of Steinbrenner, where early on they'll never win with George. And he was sort of a villain here and a hated owner and all those things. And then now, here we go all these years later. Now that all these years later he's passed, they still talk about, well, if George was alive, he's a beloved figure in New York sports and Yankee lore. To me, I understand you got to win more, but it seems like James Dolan is headed on that same trajectory that George was. You know, hated at one point, maligned, and now, dare I say, becoming beloved as the owner of the Knicks.
I can't believe we're living in this world, but everything you alluded to is totally fair. And he should thank his lucky stars, much like George Steinbrenner getting thrown out of baseball, and, you know, Gene Michael had to go and take over the operation and allowed you to go and keep a Bernie and keep a Jeter and a Mariano, and on we go. James Dolan should just thank his lucky stars he hired Leon Rose. And he got him out of CAA, and he gave him a chance to run the entire kit and caboodle. because Leon Rose's vision for the organization, and James Dolan, to his credit, you know what he did? He stayed out of the way. He said, I'm going to let Leon cook. I'm going to let him build the team. I'm not going to meddle with the team, and he's going to go and get me a winner. That's what happened. So all of the redemption angles are fair, are justified, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it. The only difference with George and Dolan, George did win right out of the gate. He came to the Yankees. He got Catfish Hunter. He got Reggie Jackson. They won. Then the 80s went the way it did. Right. The early 90s were an absolute dumpster fire. And, yeah, that's why, Tommy, as you know, in the early 90s, when George got banned from baseball, Yankee Stadium was celebrating. They were going nuts when George Steinbrenner got suspended from Major League Baseball. That happened. That is reality. That is not some sort of fantasy. No, the beloved George Steinbrenner got banned from baseball, and Yankee fans celebrated it. Tommy, if like 10 years ago James Dolan got banned by Adam Silver and David Stern, you would have gotten that reaction times 100 from Knicks fans.
Right.
So, yes, the Knicks fan is now loving every minute of James Dolan. The spear, they're loving his music, they're loving his speeches. Hey, listen, James Dolan, the players can go give up sex down. Great, it worked. Maybe they'll do it again next year. Listen, God bless them. It just goes to show you, if you hire the right people and you stay out of the way, good things can happen.
All right, I'm going to ask you to pick between your children here. Not literally, but when it comes to sports. Who will have a better legacy when it's all said and done here in New York? Jeter or Brunson?
Listen, it's tough to top Jeter with all of the championships. You know,
but this is the Knicks. This is the Knicks. They unify the city.
There's a lot of legendary Yankees. I understand that. Derek Jeter won 5 championships and 4 out of 5 during his career. Like, literally came to the Yankees and everything changed, right? Like, yeah, Gene Michael, we were talking about it, built that team. They were growing. They were building in 95. It really all changed with Jeter. And, hey, if Jalen Brunson goes and rattles off multiple championships, Tommy, I'm here for it. But I think the parallel that you see in a lot of, at least over the last 24, 48 hours, is more so the Messier parallel. The only difference is, and it's a big one, Messier won before coming to the Rangers.
Bingo.
Now, he was the number 2 to Wayne Gretzky, but he had won. He was a hired gun.
Yes,
and
he
delivered. He delivered. Jalen Brunson, like, don't get me wrong, had a great playoff run for the Mavericks, and it was like kind of a sign of things to come that he could go and be this sort of player in a lead role. But he didn't quite know. Dude, no Knicks fan on planet Earth, the day Jalen Brunson signed, could have possibly imagined not only that he would be a part of, like, listen, if you're like the most optimistic person on the planet, you say, oh, maybe he could be a part of a championship team. He could be a big part of the puzzle. Maybe he's our number 3. Maybe, you know, he's our number 2. Number 1 player on a championship team. Crazy.
Some would say when Jalen Brunson came here, he was a good player, not a great player. It would be typical Knicks, and it never ends. I'm happy to say it has ended, and Evan played a lot of the clips of the hosts, including myself, when this move went down, and everybody was either dismissive or angry about it. Nobody, and I got to be honest with you, I think including Leon Rose, saw this coming. Maybe just, even Jay Wright, he was on with Beningo on Sunday and said, I didn't think JB would be a 1, I thought he'd be a 2. So even his college coach who won championships with him did not see this coming, and I think Jalen Brunson uses that as fuel. So my advice to everybody out there, either locally or the national media, continue to doubt Jalen Brunson, because it fuels his fire. Okay, the parade on Thursday. Quick answer here. I said 3 to 5 million people will show up based on the drought, based on there's so many Knicks fans that unifies the city. And also, we haven't had a parade here in a while. Things are different. Now you have all these social media content creators, and they're going to be out there as well, even if they're not a Knicks fan. Am I on par there? 3 to 5 million? What's your projection for people attending the parade on Thursday?
Now, I don't have the numbers and the facts in front of me, so maybe you guys can figure this out and then fact-check me after. I don't know what the biggest parade was in the history of these ticker tape parades. I got to assume it was one with better weather. Maybe it was 94 with the Rangers. But sports has gotten bigger. You know, it really has. From even 94 to where it is now, it has gotten bigger. Like, it's insane to think about, but it's true. I'm going to go 5 million people, Tommy. I think it's going to be an absolute spectacle. A spectacle that this city has never seen.
Like, totally agree.
Let's put it this way. I have to be downtown to do our parade coverage for SOI, which I'm very excited about. We're going to have a great day. We're basically right on the premises in the World Trade Plaza. So Broadway, as I told you, when I got into the car, they're preparing, like they get everything ready. I'm thinking for a 10 o'clock show with the parade starting, in all seriousness, and I live in Brooklyn and I have an easy commute to get into the city, I almost feel like I got to leave at like 6:30 to get in for like a 20-minute commute. That's how crazy I think it's going to be, dude.
Yeah, we're sharing a brain. I think it's 3 million bare minimum. I think it could top out at 5 million for all the things that we just laid out there. Something that Beningo said with Joe and Evan today, I want to get your take on. He thinks, well, Brunson's a lock. Ananobi and Cat, are they going to get their numbers retired?
Right now, I would say Cat is definitely trending in that direction. Okay. Now, remember, there's going to be a big contractual conversation with Cat, who is up for a serious raise, which sounds crazy because he makes a ton of money to begin with. You're like, hold on a second. He can get more? Yeah, that NBA cap keeps going up. He can have a contract that can kick in and pay him like $60 million a year. So is that going to be a thing? I think he loves being here so much. I think the ties from Jersey, the fact that he grew up a Knicks fan, and here's the hope, Tommy, for this roster. Guys are going to look at Brunson and say, he took less, I'll take less.
Well, and I think Brunson's going to continue to do that, just like Brady did. Brunson's not an idiot. He understands that you take a little less money, but it means the team is better. And Jalen Brunson is going to make a fortune when he retires. So he's not stupid. You take a little less now. It helps the team. It makes him better. It means he can win more championships. And he, much like Tom Brady, is going to print money when he retires. If he's chooses to live that type of life, which I'm sure he will, because it's going to be out there for him. So I think that a lot of people, like you said, are going to follow suit. And Cat might be the same. He's a local guy. And this team has such a great nucleus. I want to see it stick together because they can grow and win championships. Because everybody likes to say, oh, they're veterans. They're in their prime. I feel like when you're veterans, it sounds like they're almost on the back end. They're in the middle here. They're on 10, whole 10, not whole 17. So I think everybody's going to kind of follow suit there. With the money. All right, let me ask you an out-of-the-box question here, and there's going to be a little bit of a caveat to it. You can't say the Yankees, and you can't say the Giants. Who will be the next team to win a championship in this town? Can't say Yankees, can't say Giants.
I feel like you can't say Knicks, too, right?
Yeah, obviously not Knicks, though, yeah.
No, but I'm saying, like, even moving forward. I think the Knicks should be excluded from that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Excluding the Knicks, I meant more just...
So you're saying Mets, Jets, Islanders, Rangers, Devils. I think that covers it.
Yeah.
Wow. And you're putting the Giants in there? Can I put the Giants in there or
no? You cannot.
Wow. This is terrible. This is absolutely terrible.
Just say the Mets.
No, I'm not. I was actually going to tell you the Devils.
I thought I could get you to say the Mets there. Or let me throw this one out there.
I mean, buddy, by the way, nice performance from Senga. Can you get his ass off the team?
Well, he battled through a tough first inning, and then, you know, he finished up with a strong start there. You know, hasn't pitched in a while, coming off the IL.
He gets a 3-run in the first inning. He spanked.
He's chipping away. He's working through.
You got to understand something. I don't root for the Mets, but I want them to. It is good for our business at SOI when they go and have success. These games, Tom, I know you want it. You want it. You're in positive mode. You're preaching positivity to the audience. Tom, positivity watching this team, it's like going to the dentist and getting your teeth pulled. It has not been an enjoyable watch, my man. It's tough. It's very tough.
Okay, final one for me, and obviously we're talking to John Jastrzemski here. Do the Knicks win?
I don't go there. I don't blame you. Yeah. I don't blame you. Kidding about the Knicks. I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Do you think the Knicks are going to win another championship with this group?
Yes. Yes. You want to know why? They're tough as nails.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if it's going to be next year, Tom. I don't know if it's going to be next year. But you mentioned the fact that you have a bunch of these guys still in the primes of their careers. I believe that. And you said something that I wholeheartedly agree with. I don't like betting against Jalen Brunson, you know? People have been betting against Jalen Brunson. They're probably going to bet against him some more. I think he can win another championship.
He's won on every level. I mean, high school, college, pros. There's not a lot of people walk on the face of the earth that present or have passed away that have done that. And he has.
It's a crazy, crazy basketball resume. So, yes, I think this core can absolutely positively win another championship. But I do want to say this. Tommy, even if they don't, this team has delivered something that I never thought I'd see. Mm-hmm. And their lives have changed forever. And our lives, I'm not being dramatic in saying this, have changed forever. Like, this city, the way it came together, the way, like, Tom, I live in Yuppieville in Brooklyn. I got people high-fiving me, yep. Like, people who don't look like, and listen, the frauds come out. We get that. The bandwagon comes out. Yep. But people have a problem with it. Here's my advice. Bandwagon means you're good. Enjoy the fact
it's also being in New York. We're a bandwagon city. We're a front-running city. Go move to Kansas City if you don't like that, where everybody roots for the same team, and it's we're all going out Friday night to go see the game. And if you don't like the bandwagon fans, you're in the wrong city because that's what we are here. All right, JJ, I got to run. Always appreciate the time. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Made the drive fly. I appreciate you, buddy. And listen, we got to work on my music for when I come on. I know we do the EDM, which is fine.
What are you, Carson Daly?
But the next time I come on, I didn't love that one today. I think we could do better.
We'll do better next time. We'll get you some yacht rock next time you're on, my friend.
No. EDM's fine. EDM. I'll just send you a request. That's
I got you.
All.
Perfect. Send me a
if
request.
It'd be like my walk-up song, you know?
You got it.
Done. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
See you, bro.
There he is, the great John Jastrzemski, of course, a dear friend of mine, SNY, WFAN alum, New York podcast.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.